Summer will be back shortly.
I am back.
Oh, you are back.
I'm
okay.
Hotel.
Okay, we'll be Alex on the stack. And remember, by the way, we need to stop for public comment at 3:30. So let's try to not get too wrapped up in any one thing and give a chance for everybody to speak. Okay, Alex.
Levon, I'd like a little bit more specifics on the difference between the original estimate and the current draft for where this deficit came from. You mentioned legal fees, and can we break down, without getting into confidential matters, can you break down how much of a percentage of the deficit is represented by increased legal fees, and where those legal fees by station originate?
Okay, let me just pull up the file here, and I can do that.
Bill.
I'm pulling the file up. Let me just pull it up, and then I will. Can we go to the next question? I'll make a note of that.
All right. I have Laura, and then Ken. Laura.
Well, I think Levon kind of needs to pay attention when I ask my question.
Oh no, I can hear you while I'm paying attention. Okay. I'm fine, and or someone can write the question down. Go ahead.
I've heard that at least one employee at KPFA's check bounced last payroll, and that I'm wondering why that happened. Were you aware? I kind of think you probably should have been aware before something bounced, or don't we have overdraft protection, and why did a payroll check bounce?
Okay, I can answer that question.
Remember, we're in open session. So.
Okay, what happened is that, you know, we do have cash flow shortages. We do have. Thank you for reminding me that we do have. Our payroll account is here at Bank of America here in Los Angeles, and we normally look at these accounts daily, particularly at payroll. And for some reason over the weekend. We did not see that the funds that what had happened is that we had actually made another transfer to pay for I believe it was the benefits at the same time. So when the benefits were paid at the same time, B of A for some reason for the first time did not honor a couple of checks. So, and we immediately moved the funds though that Monday when we found out that was the case. But that's what had happened. We paid benefits, transferred out taxes at the same time, and for some reason, we don't know why, but it happened for the first time that a couple of the checks were not honored. But they were honored immediately after we took care of it. And that was for some reason over the weekend.
Thank you. Ken?
What is our contract with FSRN, and how much use are we getting out of that service? In other words, what's the period of time that we're still bound in a contract, and how much airtime do we extract from that?
I can answer some of those questions, and some of the contract information probably we can talk about in closed session. We have just gone through negotiations on a contract with FSRN, and I think that I guess I can share this is that, you know, we get funding from Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and those funds that we get, we designate those to FSRN. So the funds that we receive from CPB are the funds that we transfer to FSRN, and the contract amount now is $25,000. We're looking at $25,000 a month.
Right, but I mean that's not covered completely, right?
By the contract.
Yeah,
hey, that's contract.
Folks, we're going to have ample opportunity in closed session to discuss any contractual or legal matters.
Thank you.
So, thank you. Just and some of these things tread on both sides of that line, so just try to remember that when discussing. Other people on the stack? Okay. Next part of the report.
Okay. I think the question was asked about, Alex wanted to know the difference in where initially I thought we would come in at, was the question we initially thought we would come in at break even, and then now we're coming in with the $400,000 loss, and how much was, I'm sorry, how much was legal expenses, and what was it over the budget?
Where did it come from?
Okay. The legal expenses primarily this year are over budget at KPFA. So, and also in the national office. And again, since the numbers are changing, the numbers that I have, the variances I have are based on a number that was at when we were still at about $7,000 as what at about break even. The $400,000, the numbers are still changing, still developing. I don't have that spreadsheet where I can tell you exactly what the numbers are. We're still working that.
Go ahead, Bill, your point of information.
Just point of information. I thought I tried forwarding to you the spreadsheets LaVorne sent, and I just noticed I was looking my out. It says it went out, but I haven't gotten it back. And but it was, she sent it to the National Finance Committee Wednesday night late, so somebody else on the NFC could forward it to the board if you have your email from then. I don't know why it didn't come back from me, but.
What's the
files or
it came through to me, Bill.
There were two files.
12.
You did get it?
FY 2011.
Yeah. Okay.
First quarter.
You're filtering yourself.
There's two spreadsheets.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
There were 1201 FY1 first quarter.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
got it. Well, I didn't get it back.
Yeah.
I sent it
to the board this morning.
Yeah. Just in case, maybe between the two.
Okay.
Yeah. No. All right, folks. We're having a chat.
I just wish everybody got it.
Thank you. Arlene is going to go ahead and resend it, so hopefully between Bill sending it and Arlene sending it, you'll get at least one copy. Go ahead, LaVorne.
Okay, and so then what we can do then is we can just go into just briefly review the Q1 results, the first quarter 2012 results. And those numbers, those were the numbers that I could put on the overhead projector, but I will just pull them up from my file here, and we can go over those if everyone has them. Those I don't have printouts of. Okay. So first, as I went through my discussion in terms of like moving from FY 2011 into looking at the budget for 2012 and to see where we're going from there, I think that what we have done is that we have, for the first quarter, we've been like totally involved in doing audits. Like Ross Wisdom and his group came out at the beginning of December, I guess the first or second week in December, so they were there. And so that was like preparing. The staff was totally dedicated to that. They're in an office, and also the business managers. And then the first or full week in January, we actually had a CPB audit. So the CPB auditor came out and spent a week there at the national office and also next door at KPFA. So this quarter, we've been totally immersed in preparing for the audits, responding to the audit requests, trying to get the information in, trying to explain our business, and trying to, explain the business of the foundation and the fact that we believe we are moving in a positive direction. Again, if you just look at, you know, where we came from, again, in 2007 to where we are now, I think we are making progress. But we have a long way to go, and we understand that. And we have put in a number of measures that were communicated to the stations in terms of holding down expenses. And one of the things is that any headcount, any hires, new hires, it should come through and be approved by Arlene Engelhardt, the executive director, before that person is brought on board. So that's one of the controls we've put in place, and one of the really important things is trying to keep those costs down. So if we look at, as Ross Wisdom, our auditor, had asked about how we're doing this first quarter, you know, if we're really making improvements if we're really achieving this budget that we produced, and I just want to say that we did have our budget
By the end of the fiscal year, the treasurer of the finance committee, Tracy Rosenberg, to really work with the staff, work with the stations, and to get those in. So that was an achievement for us to have that budget done by the end of the fiscal year and have it approved by the PNB. So really want to applaud the PNB and the finance committees who really worked to get that done. So in terms of where we are with that budget, for the first 3 months of the year, I can give you those numbers. But these numbers are all preliminary. As we've talked to Ross about, there are still adjustments that need to be made in some of the numbers. And the reason why is that the way we have the finance staff committee set up, or finance staff set up, is that with any group or any company, you have your financial close, which means that you close your books so that you're no longer making interest for that month. And then you have to do analysis at the national office where you do account reconciliations. With the foundation, we have these central services, so you have to determine how much your revenue you should receive for central services. So that takes like about a week before you can get that done. So each one of the business managers, we've had consistent close with four of the six business managers. So we were not able to close the books for this month, for the month of January, for the quarter, until Friday night. So since Friday night, all weekend, we have been working on getting reports for not only for us, but for Ross Wisdom, because, again, we really have to have this audit completed by the end of February. So we're all struggling to get these done. And also, we, for the first time in a number of years, we were able to start produce reports for this first quarter. That for some reason we did not do that before. You know, it's either expertise, and we were also able, I was able to get outside help, a consultant to come in and actually put our budget into our finance database so that the information is there. And when Ross Wisdom asked Anthony Iberola for the reports, the information was there. He could produce a report with the actuals compared to budget because it's in the general ledger database. And actually, you do it by uploading. It's all Microsoft. So therefore, you can upload, download Excel spreadsheets into this finance database called Great Plains, and you can produce reports with this report writer called FRX. Now, it's really sensitive, but it can be done, and it was done, and we do have the reports. So just briefly, for the first quarter, you know, the concern is how are we doing with listener support? You know, what, and in terms of our budget was $3.6 million. Now, we have come in at about 3.2, but there are some adjustments to be made in there. So I think instead of 3.2, it would maybe be $3.4 million in listener support for the foundation for the first quarter versus a budget of about 3.6. So we may be off anywhere from $200,000 to $300,000 on listener support. And one of the main reasons for that is that listener support income also has income in there for our Pacifica Radio Archives. And the Radio Archives, they do a fundraiser, an on-air fundraiser at the stations once a year. And instead of doing a three-day drive, which was in the budget, they did a two-day drive. So their revenue was off. So a large part of that, $200,000 to $300,000, is due to the listener support revenue at the archives. So if you look at the stations to see how they're really doing and how they're generating revenue, it is not too far off the budget. So in terms of total revenue, though, compared to budget, if you take out, there's an adjustment that needs to be made of about $100,000. We are about right on as far as total revenue. Our expenses, though, we are about right on with expenses. So if after we make our adjustments as far as net income, we should be at about $700,000, which will be about on budget. But that's, again, after adjustments. The reports I have and which I'd send out show that right now, before our adjustments are made, our revenue for the first quarter for the foundation is $546,000. So it's over $500,000 in revenue. And the first quarter is always a quarter that we are usually very successful in terms of revenue exceeding expenses. So that's something that, and if we compare this year to last year, after the adjustments, we should be about right. We should be about the same as last year. Now, the other thing is that this year and the first quarter, KPFK had to replace their transmitter. So if you look at capital items for the first quarter, we spent $110,000, which included the cost of the replacement transmitter here at KPFK. So that's where we are for the first quarter. The concern is, you know, are there alarms, or are there things we need to look at to see, you know, are we going to make this budget? You know, one of the questions that was asked me is that if we look at our legal, again, our legal costs for the first quarter actually exceeded budget by $40,000. So the question is this going to continue? And that's a question that we have to ask ourselves, and that's one of the things that is definitely alarming at this time, is that are the legal expenses, and are we going to be able to meet our budget? Because the budget for the year, we're looking at revenue for the year of $14.5 million and expenses of about the same. So our budget actually is projecting about a break even. So again, we are alarmed at where we are now, and I think we definitely need to really implement again some of the actions to make sure that spending does not increase, that we reduce spending, and that we are really helping the stations in terms of helping to generate and be successful in fundraising. Now, in terms of our headcount for the first quarter, it increased some in the month of December. One of the reasons is KPFA, has a crafts fair, so there are a number of people who come on board. So our headcount has stayed about even with that exception for the quarter. As far as our balance sheet, we don't have a balance sheet yet. We haven't finalized the September 30th balance sheet, which we need to determine what your balance sheet would be for the end of the quarter. So that's kind of where we are for the first quarter.
Questions? Okay, or not. Ali? Okay, go ahead, Ali. Okay, Teresa? All right, Teresa and then Ali.
To what do you attribute on line, 25, development expenses, where your budgeted were $124,000 and the actual is only $44,000?
Let's just see.
Which file?
Line 25.
Which there's two files.
Which one?
Fiscal year 2012.
Which unit? Consolidated.
Look at the bottom of the J and K. I and J.
No, that's the column.
That's the column, line 25.
Line 25.
What's the title right there?
What's highlighted down?
KPFA.
A? Thank you.
Okay. Let me just
clarify. There's two different files also, so they're not the same.
I guess that's a good thing. You were expecting expenses to be 120-some thousand, and they ended up being 44. But to what do you attribute that?
Okay,
marvelous.
So if you scroll down to the lower level there, you will find line 135, beginning 134, development expenses. So it will give you the difference there. And the major part there we see is that premiums from third-party vendors, the difference there is about $40,000. And this is usually when there's that variance there, that's usually due to just in terms of timing, because there was a drive in December. For KPFA, the number of days, I think they stopped it one day short, I think, of what they were doing. So usually your premiums are based on how well your drive does. So if your drive is doesn't produce as much revenue, then you're not spending as much premiums. And then also it's a matter of timing. Like after the drive, sometime the cost of the premiums will come in. They can order early, so it can come in a month before, or it can be the following month. Okay. So I don't think that variance is going to stay there for the rest of the
Thank you.
And I'm sorry, who did I have on the left here? Was that? It was you. That's it. You're right here. That's why I didn't see you. I'm looking over there.
Hi, LeVar. Two quick questions. I'm looking at the KPFK line 47. Where it says website income, is that referring to website income outside of the fund drives?
That's, I believe so. Exactly, because you have website income within the fund drive, so
right,
it's outside.
It's much higher than that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you mentioned something about a new transmitter. Do you have any details or further information about what you were talking about in there?
The new transmitter for KPFK?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can, in a closed session, I think I have a copy of the contract on my computer. So it had to be replaced. The transmitter was constantly needed repair, and we talked about it last fiscal year, and KPFK's results for the year actually, although the foundation produced a loss, KPFK, I think their results for the year produced a surplus of about $180,000 or so. So the funds were there. You needed a new transmitter, and the decision was made to purchase the transmitter.
Okay, so we can pick this up in closed session.
I believe I have a copy of the contract,
right,
and I can share that.
Don't.
Okay, I think I do on my computer.
Thank you, Laverne. Other people with questions? Okay. Next. Next section. any more?
Well, I talked about the first quarter. Talked about the full year. We had also sent out, again, talk some about the budget. So, again, if we look at, again, you look at Q1, the first quarter, see how we're doing compared to budget and where we expect to go from there. That's, you know, there are concerns that our revenue and our expenses are about on in terms of budget, but our revenue, even after adjustment, may be down. That for the Pacifica Radio Archives, where they did 2 days of fundraising versus 3 days, that the third day of fundraising will be a part of the fundraising for the stations that will happen in February of this month. So we do expect that revenue to come up, but if that revenue goes to PRA, that means that's less revenue at the station. So, yeah, there's concern, and there's and I think that we need to implement our measures to hold expenses and really help. We really need to help the stations to help them to generate funds, and that we do need those resources to do that.
Bill?
Thank you, LeVar. I was wondering if you could sort of clarify for everybody here what you feel the board's responsibility should be to help with raising revenue or helping us out of our financial problems. Because if you've noted, we're doing much better on income, we're not losing as much money, but we still have a lot of payables, bills we have to pay, and we can't do it unless we've got more revenue than we have expenses. So what can the board do? What should each of us do to help take responsibility for that?
Well, you know, I know that in many cases that most of us do not look at the Pacifica Foundation National Board as a fundraising board, but I think that there are some definite possibilities, and I think that there is expertise here on this board, those who do have the expertise to fundraise to join us. And I talked about a project last year where there's a fundraiser in the Bay Area. Most people are familiar with, I'll use her name, Kim Klein. And there's a project that is called $50,000 in 5 weeks or 6 weeks. And we've talked with Kim Klein, and she's willing to her staff to help us do this. Now, there would be a cost to do that. But if we would, example, you know, pick a project that we think that we really need to fund, for the stations, you know, what do you really see as like the real need? Like even here at KPFK with the transmitter, we could say, okay, if we could raise money for a specific purpose, you know, hit that, get it out there, you know, just the old-fashioned way, $50,000 in 5 weeks. Or we can do, you know, the mid-20th century way, is we get the people with the expertise to do the email blast and to, you know, work this in with, you know, what's happening with Occupy movements. You know, this is how this information is getting out on the Pacifica Foundation Network. So specifically, $50,000 in 5 weeks in order to reduce X payable and to generate funds to get the message out about the Occupy movement, something like that.
Okay, now I'll look for that. I can forward that to the board because I remember you sent it to us earlier. That's a good example. Thank you.
Sure. Nia?
Let me just take this over because I can't turn my head. Under the consolidated for consultants for, sorry, that line is awful high. That's line 112 under the administrative expenses. Why is that line so high?
Which tab are you looking at? Which station? Consolidated?
Consolidated.
112?
Yeah, consultants.
Let me get that.
I hope I'm looking. I'm opening up what I got. I hope this is.
What month?
This is first quarter. One second. I have to go up. First quarter. I think this was the first quarter.
I've got an answer to that, but it needs to be dealt with in closed session.
She said, I need to hold it for closed session. She has an answer.
No, Arlene said, she didn't say it. Arlene says she has an answer and she can handle it in closed session.
I apologize. When I said she, I meant to say, I was talking about Arlene.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm looking at the spreadsheet. Okay.
John said not to do that.
Yes. Okay, another question.
I want to thank Bill for asking her what can we do, and I want to make a statement that I believe that it is imperative that that the boards, not only this board, but also the local station boards, the LSBs, to somewhere, somehow, we need to put a language in the bylaws which requires the local boards to raise money. Our local programmers, okay, they do the fundraising, okay, and I think that we need to task the LSBs and also this board to go out there and raise money, and I think that is definitely going to help.
Thank you, Evan.
And I think that we should take on this issue this year.
Thank you, Evan. I think you'll get agreement from multiple quarters. Did you want to say something?
Just a real quick response. Here you go.
I just want to commend Washington for having actually started in that direction. Your board has taken on a fundraising project that you've done twice now, and each time the revenue has increased. And it was, as I understand it, very successful. And so I congratulate you for that. It's a start, and it's just barely scratching the surface, but it's definitely a start in the right direction. And we thank you for that and wish all the other stations would follow suit.
Thank you, Arlene. Campbell?
Yes, thank you very much, Arlene. I just want to mention that the first year we did the U Street Jam, we made $6,000 off of it, and this was party that folks said, why is this the first time you did this? And at any rate, this year when we did it and we established protocols in so far as making sure that we kept track of the finances, etc., and we were able to net $16,000, a little bit more. And there are a few other notions that we've been working with. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Campbell. That's the way to go. Up, up. Let's make it 32 next time, right? Okay. Anybody else with questions, comments?
There's one other thing.
Of course, LeBron.
We've gotten donations in for this quarter, but the other thing that we have done is that we have a listener who wanted to donate funds to the foundation when he made his transition, and he wanted to do it through a gift annuity. So this is something we had been pursuing since last year. So we were able to work with a legacy foundation and produce the gift annuity in terms of getting the correct rate that he wanted. So he gave the Pacifica Foundation, we received the checks last week, $20,000 in a gift annuity. And in talking with Ross yesterday, we were talking about, and also talking with WBAI, and also with the person who worked with KPFA in the past, that we need to really pursue these type of vehicles for the foundation, so that in the past we had a Lou Hill Heritage Society, and that's what we would like to set up again with KPFA and also with the foundation, because in this case, this individual is very generous, and he also supports the foundation with annual checks, but he wanted to set this up in this gift annuity. You fill out the form. You get this person is over the age of 90, and we certainly thank him for the gift. And if they're everyone around the table, I mean, if you're interested in the foundation and like to help the foundation, and you're past a certain age, you can set up a gift annuity. And you'll get it. Thank you very much, Teresa. And it works really well because you get a higher interest rate than what you can get now. And so that's another vehicle. We were talking about what the foundation, what our board can do. We can start our own annual giving group. And we have people who will work with us actually for free. And we can actually reestablish the Lou Hill Heritage Society and seek those funds.
Thank you, Lauren. Anybody else for this portion? Okay. Strangely, we finished ahead of schedule on an item. I don't know how this has occurred. I'm not sure what to do with the extra time. Okay, so we have about 20 minutes till we have public comment time certain, and I don't want to go to public comment earlier lest there be people that are planning on arriving during that particular half hour. So we have a range of options of what to do with this abundance of time we suddenly find on our hands. Laura?
How long isn't public comment an hour?
No, it's half an hour, and it starts in about 20 minutes. We have fewer than 10 members of the public.
What's the next item on open agenda?
Open session in minutes. I was going to consult with our secretary to see if we have any ready for review right now. No?
The only thing, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Let me
look. Okay, give us a brief moment. Okay, so... I'm surprised there isn't more to chew on financially, frankly. But there'll be plenty in closed session, I'm sure. Ross, please. Let's get that mic hot, please. Hold on.
Hey, guys.
They're on it.
Go ahead, he says.
I think I hear something.
Hello? Hello?
He's talking.
Hello? Hello?
Hold on. John will help you, Ross.
In the meantime, you can actually
use that. You mean motion detectors?
Those don't work very well either.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to add in at this time, and I'd rather do this actually in open session, to what we were just discussing between LeVarn and Teresa and others. I've been talking to the... business managers a lot, and Arlene and LeVarn. I think this organization is well positioned to do much more in the planned giving area. Some organizations will send out a flyer or in any of their mailings. They'll have a little box, like you can check it. And if you would like to donate through your estate or your will, or perhaps you'd like to designate Pacifica in your retirement account, and there's also charitable remainder trust. There's lots of vehicles that's, I think if it's made convenient and accessible and there's an inquiry and someone to call and it could be easily set up, that I think in a long term, Pacifica is very well positioned to reap a great deal of long-term gifting and that type of planning. And I think if the concerted effort was made across all the stations and national and everything, that would certainly, you know, as your auditor, impress me. And I think, you know, it won't happen immediately. But over a course of time, maybe 5 years or so, you would see some very, you know, I would expect some substantial response. So I just wanted to throw that in.
Thank you, Ross. We may be throwing you into the pool of answering questions here in a moment. I have Revelin and then Bill. Go ahead, Revelin. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going back to LaVarne's report for a minute because something came up that brought to mind the fact that I know that at WPFW there's an ad that runs that says move your money from regular banks and move it into what do they call it? Credit unions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is when you said that B of A would not process the checks, you know, and obviously we have a relationship with them. So my question is whether or not we would be willing to move our money into a credit union to take a stance.
Go ahead, LaVarne.
We have, over the year, the Finance Committee, the FRAD Committee, we have all talked and researched in terms of where to move funds. And this... what happened with BFA, this is the first time ever because, I mean, I get the bank statements and I see that we're overdrawn and they have always honored the check. So it's always a mystery when something like this happens and it has never happened before. Mm-hmm. So it's still a question and I'm here in LA and I plan to talk with the VP who's located here next week. So that will be done. But let's get back to your question. So we've done the research on the FRAD committee, and we've looked at banks. At KPFA, there was the push to move from Wells Fargo, and I'm not really ready to make that announcement of whether it has been done because we haven't talked with all parties yet. But the push was to move to a community bank and to use KPFA was not using a lockbox. So we definitely, there was no choice there, and that was something that we had set to go in September, and it didn't happen. But it will happen on February the 1st, this coming February the 1st. There will be a lockbox for KPFA. It will start then. And as far as credit unions, we have done the research. I've done research with credit unions in the Bay Area. And the issue with credit unions, the ones we talk to do not have a lockbox. And with Washington, D.C., with PFW, we have worked with, I know we have, you have, PFW has funds, and Georgetown Bank, they do not have a lockbox. They currently, the bank they're currently with does, however, it's like sort of, we really need to consolidate funds. So we have tested, we've looked at the credit unions. I've looked at, you know, the ones that are ranked. I've looked at all the ranking of credit unions and, you know, and looked at their financial financial statements to see, you know, how sound they are. But on the other hand, you know, as someone says that, you know, with all banks, there's something there that is not quite there could be skeletons in the closet. So, you know, there's and credit unions usually would be the way to go, but credit unions cannot provide the services that the foundation requires.
Thank you, LaVarne. I have Bill, Afia, and then Nia. Bill and Kim.
Thank you. I know we've discussed a lot of things like this in executive session in our FRAT, Financial Reform Audit Task Force, but I was wondering if Arlene LaVarne could give a little public information about, like, some of the HR services arrangements that are coming up or anything else that could be made public.
I'm going to give that in my report tomorrow, but if you want me to put it out.
Well,
again.
I just thought, since our auditor's here, too, because some of it relates to some
sure.
of the this other stuff.
We have entered
exposure to lawsuits.
We have entered into a contract that's kind of a dual or a double contract, I guess that's not the right word. Two layers, I guess you'd say. Dermanuel is our insurance broker, and they offer many of the services that we need that somewhat relate to HR and benefits management. And so we've entered into a contract with them for that purpose, and I'll give a few details on the financial side of that in closed session. And as part of that contract, we also get full service from Holman HR Services. At this point, they've already provided a number of services for management people. I'm sorry, I'm still being blinded. For management people that within the foundation when we've needed some HR services, so it's beginning to help us cut back on legal costs, too. And by the end of February, we're working with them on the website that will be available for employees, and it will be both a website and an 800 number that employees will be able to contact directly in order to get information not only about benefits but about any kind of HR questions that they may have. And that's all as part of the overall contract. There's no additional fee for that. In addition, they'll be working with us on things like job descriptions and a lot of the other areas that we were talking about earlier. If we bring them in person at any location, and we may have to do a little bit of that, then there will be an additional fee. But so long as we're working with them by phone and email, these services are all included under the single monthly fee that we're paying.
Thank you, Arlene. Nia?
Thank you. To follow up on, I forgot who said, you know, about the payroll, LaVarne, what I'm confused about is if we have the running balances when writing checks, then we should know that there is going to be an overdraft, right? So I don't understand why the paychecks would bounce. I heard the explanation, but it seems to me that if we're doing the running balances, then we should have known that there was going to be a shortage. I mean, it's just like regular checkbook. You know, you write a check and you know whether the money's there or not before you write the check.
It was basically a two-folded problem. The real problem was communication, and it was a misunderstanding. LaVarne had transferred the funds to cover the payroll. Because we're running very tight, we transfer things exactly when we need them. Unfortunately, another employee looked at the account and thought, oh, I've got enough to cover these benefits right now. They could have been covered a few days later, but she went ahead and made the transfer and didn't stop to think that people who get paper paychecks might not have cashed them yet. The majority of our employees take direct deposit, and so that was out of the bank. But she looked at the account and she thought, oh good, we've got enough balance to cover this, so I'm going to go ahead and get it taken care of because I don't want to take a chance of any penalty. And it was just a mistake in communication.
But when you fund the payrolls, don't the stations fund the accounts first before you write the checks? Isn't that the process?
In many cases, WBAI does not have the funds to cover their payroll, and in the lesser cases, other stations too, but WBAI, at least a third of the time, doesn't have the funds to cover their payroll, and so we're juggling to cover it for a period of time.
So this is what happened this time?
That was part of what happened. But
okay.
We had still deposited the money from other sources. But that meant, you know, we're juggling and waiting for the funds then to come in order to write this other thing. It's unfortunately, it's what
Robbing
Ross
Peter
was,
to pay Paul,
Ross
right.
was
yeah,
talking
right.
about earlier, okay. that we need to have a little bit better cash flow situation so we don't have to face this. And the biggest thing there is that each station has to be carrying their own, at least to cover payroll benefits and certain expenses that can't be deferred without penalty, like rents and a few other things. Or electricity and phones that'll get shut off.
Thank you, Arlene. Thank you, Nia. I have Campbell and then Teresa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. The item particularly that I was that I'm involved in looking at is seeing what we can get in so far as having the impact of a national credit union type of entity that can also provide us with the local kind of service that we would need. And if the credit unions can now do business accounts, and I've been in contact with the president of that entity, and I'm working out something because we are going to have additional financial needs that I don't think we can fund internally, but that are certainly appropriate for our operations. And I think that we can achieve something that would be rather momentous, I believe, in our industry, and maybe it may be something that will be of great benefit throughout this country. Thank you.
Thank you, Campbell. Teresa?
Okay. Ross was talking earlier about, I think it was $65,000. It was a building fund, and how useful this $65,000 was. Because it could be used by people in development to kind of encourage people to match. And that's kind of what I like when I hear that I can somehow leverage something. So I know that we did something in Washington, D.C., and something may come up here that inspires you to kind of do something for KPFK. But right now, this is what inspires me. So I will donate $100, and I will find another person to donate $100 for WBAI to put into this fund, which can be used to encourage people to match it. And I encourage, if you're enthused about this idea, some of you can probably give more than I'm capable of giving. Some, but we don't turn anyway. We don't look at any gift horse in the mouth. But I will write my check, my first check right now, and I'll find another donor. And if any of you feel so inspired, we can send this back with someone from WBAI to put into this fund. Okay?
Thank you, Teresa. Move on.
Okay. I'll match Teresa's, and I want to, and also WBAI actually has started an account. They only have about 1,000 or so in there, and they're not touching it, and it is to replace that 65,000. So this is really good.
I'm inspired.
Thank you. Ken, you're next. You're fine? Okay. We have
excuse me.
Ross.
Berthold has put $1,000 in the account, and I will match it for my fees.
Thank you, Ross. We like our auditor. Thank you. Okay, well, on that happy note, we've got about 5-6 more minutes till public comment. Any more discussion on Alex?
I'll put in $100 into that account.
Thank you. Well, Lydia? I feel like I'm running an auction. Lay your money down now, folks. $2,400 while we're sitting here. See what happens when we get through. You see, get through your agenda. Right? You get through your agenda a little early, have 20 minutes to kill, you start raising thousands of dollars. We should do this more often. Literally killing two birds with one stone. Okay, very good. Thank you, everybody. That's fantastic.
So I do have a question about that. So
Revlin, go ahead.
We are streaming, right? So yeah. If anybody is listening and wants to do the match,
if you'd all
that,
like
right?
to donate out on the stream, we're raising money for WBAI in New York City. WBAA.org. You can match our auditor, our board members. You can help us double this
your
money
neighbor?
In the next 5 minutes.
Yeah,
so if you're out there in Cyberville listening to this wonderful meeting, remember, we're raising money right here, right now, while doing this meeting. So please go to WBAI.org or Pacifica.org and make your donation now. Tax deductible. Thank you.
Restricted?
That's a restricted fund.
Yeah.
But you can give us money for anything. If you feel like giving it to us for something else, we'll still take it.
For the building, right?
Lydia, did you have a question?
That was it. It's just if you're sending a check to put restricted.
That's right. Restricted.
Building fund.
Restricted that building fund. WPFW also has a building fund. So if you're in the D.C. area and you want to donate to the D.C., you can do that also. So two building funds going, and then the rest of the network. Okay, very good. Thank you for everybody who's donating money right now. That's a nice, positive, happy thing. Anything else on this besides more people ponying up money? 5 minutes to public comment. Okay, and dialing time. I know, where's the 800 number? Dialing for dollars, right?
Go ahead with public comment.
Can we go to public comment? Because they've waited more than 5 minutes for us.
I don't mind going to public comment. I just didn't want to cheat anybody at public comment in case they were getting here at like 5 minutes to four, you know? So.